Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Periodically on this program, we do a heresy update, news of the weird and unbiblical that has entered the Christian church. We're going to do that again today because part of my calling, I think, from God is to help people leave unbiblical denominations for good churches. You're going to be tempted to not believe this stuff. Go to our website, pastorstudy.org, push the F for Facebook button. You'll see all the pictures and verification there. So let's get into this today. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Again, you're not going to believe some of this stuff, but let's pray. Father, we want to pray for your churches that used to be good biblical denominations that have gone over the cliff, compromising with the culture. God, we pray that you would bring the church to sanity, and churches that absolutely refuse to repent would shrink and die, and that people would be moved into good biblical churches. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, I'm a Lutheran. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, of which I used to be a part, I led my congregation out many years ago. They're the big liberal branch of Lutheranism. The other Lutheran branches, Missouri Synod, Wisconsin, etc., are much more biblical. But let's talk about the big, liberal, dying Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They had their national convention a few months ago. At the convention, they had a Native American smudging service. That's where you burn the sage plant in order to have the smoke dispel evil influences. Then they had the people pray to the north, south, east, and west to pattern their prayers after Native American spirituality. One of the leaders said this, "For me, smudging is a ritual of intentionality. I smudge as a spiritual practice. Smudge ceremony connects me with God through the sacrifice of the plant being, in this case, sage, who chooses to use its medicinal gift, only available after it has fully given its life, to make my journey in this world healthier." The plant being? So, years ago when I was still in the ELCA, I went to a church convention and they tried to get us to pray to the north, south, east, and west to pattern prayer after Native American spirituality. I got to the microphone. I said, "I'm German. My ancestors worship Thor and Odin. Are we going to incorporate Thor worship at our convention next year?" I went home to my church and I told them that story. And a dear Native American woman from my church came up with tears in her eyes and she said, "Pastor Brock, they're trying to get us back to what Jesus saved me from." At that same ELCA church convention, if you spoke in the microphone, your face was put on a big screen, and they always listed your preferred pronouns. At the same convention, gay bishop Kevin Strickland, who's got a husband, got up to bemoan the fact that somebody would not take Holy Communion from him because he's a homosexual. And he said he's tired of people questioning his personhood. Well, I responded in an article. I've had same-sex attraction most of my life. I abstain from that behavior for the sake of my eternal soul. 1 Corinthians 6 says you don't go to heaven if you don't repent of that. But here's a bishop living in that, and he's upset that people aren't promoting it. And I said, "Bishop Strickland, nobody's questioning your personhood. People are questioning the behavior you're engaging in that is hurting you and others." And this bishop got up, and he wanted the church, and they passed it, to reconsider what's called the bound conscience position of the ELCA. Follow this. Back in 2009, the ELCA still taught that homosexual behavior is a sin. The liberals had tried to overthrow that. Finally, in 2009, they did. by offering the bound conscience position, that if your conscience is bound that it's wrong, we'll respect that. If your conscience is bound that homosexuality is good, we're going to respect that. Well, now, all these years later, we're going to reconsider whether you can have that conservative view or not. The ELCA's national magazine, The Living Lutheran, they won't even allow anymore the conservative viewpoint in its magazine. So then, same convention, that same gay bishop and a gay president of a seminary of the ELCA and other gay pastors were pictured at a gay bar at the convention. And it was retweeted approvingly by the ELCA Twitter page. I mean, this ain't my grandma's Lutheran church. All right. Let's move on from the convention to transgenderism in the ELCA. I'm not making this up. A transgender singer from Seattle will perform at Bethesda Lutheran Church in Ames, Iowa. This is a man who now looks like a woman, long hair and dress, etc. The same person will be a speaker at an ELCA seminary run by the practicing homosexual seminary president I just told you about. He will be doing a presentation called Transgender and Lutheran. This is an out and proud trans woman. And listen to what United Lutheran Seminary says about this man who thinks he's a woman. Dr. Stephanie Dykes is the name, etc. She is the father of a 29-year-old son. She is a father of a 29-year-old son, and she sings bass with the Seattle Men's Chorus. And I've reported on this before, but a few years ago, 31,000 ELCA Lutheran teenagers at convention were subject to an 11-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl was put on stage to promote transgenderism to the Lutheran teenagers. Now that Lutheran 11-year-old is a few years older, the ELCA healthcare plan, this is your offering dollars at work, pays for that child's hormone blockers. The ELCA also, I'm not making this up, I'm not saying this is true for children because I don't know, but I know for adults, the ELCA, with your offering dollars, will pay for sex change operations and abortion for any reason. Let's move on to abortion. Last year, Roe versus Wade fell. Hallelujah. You would think Christian leaders would rejoice in that. Not the head bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. She went to the White House to stand up for abortion rights. You know, since 1973, we've killed 63 million unborn children. And here's a bishop of the Lutheran Church that wants Roe versus Wade back. And she has said, quote, "Lutherans should advocate for state laws that provide for legal, safe, and affordable abortions." Then all six ELCA Wisconsin Lutheran bishops also stood up for abortion rights after Roe v. Wade fell. There is a Lutheran camp called Holden Village in Washington State, Radical Camp. They have now also taken a stand for abortion rights for women, femmes, and people with uteruses. I thought women were people with uteruses. You know who they're referring to? They're referring to men, women who now look like men, but they can still have birth. So they, you can't make this stuff up. One pastor said this, "I love abortion because abortion is health care. Any reason someone needs or wants an abortion is a good reason. You don't have to justify it to me or anyone. Free abortion, accessible to all, on demand, without apology, now." That is a pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. There's a gay pastor in St. Paul, Minnesota. After Roe versus Wade fell, he got up and preached a sermon saying that we need to follow Jesus. How? By working for abortion rights. And there's a lesbian ELCA pastor. If you go to her Facebook page, there's a picture of her and her wife. And then she says this, "I chose abortion. This pastor is pro-choice. Trans is beautiful." And then she says, "This pastor will marry you and support you as you access reproductive health care, full stop, no exceptions." And then if you go to my website, you'll see the picture of an ELCA woman pastor holding a sign at a pro-choice rally saying, quote, Virgin Mary is evidence that we should be pro-choice, you MFers. Can we respond to all this? Ever since, in Luke chapter 2, the unborn John the Baptist leapt for joy inside of Elizabeth when the unborn Jesus Christ came into the room in the womb of Mary, Christians have been against abortion forever until recently. And I said it before, I'll say it again. The ELCA, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, they all pay for abortions with offering dollars. Not just the Lutheran liberals were upset by Roe versus Wade falling. This is from the head bishop of the Episcopal Church in America. He said, quote, "I am deeply grieved," end quote, "that Roe versus Wade has been overturned." All right, let's move on from that and go to the gay issue. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has produced a new gay pride video. Head Bishop Eaton does this every year the last 2 or 3 years. And in the video, Eaton celebrates our LGBTQAIS plus siblings. And she can't say, you don't say brothers and sisters anymore. That's too binary. You have to say your siblings. And she is especially troubled about bills that, quote, target transgender youth. I'm not sure what she meant by that. I hope she doesn't mean she's for sex change operations for children. I hope not. But so she supports the gay movement. And then I'm thinking, well, does she support people like me? I believe homosexual behavior is a sin. Does she support people like me? She's never done a video supporting the traditional biblical view of this issue. Then an ELCA bishop in Washington State posted a gay rainbow cross at a gay pride parade. Bishop Shelley Wee of Northwest Washington Synod of the ELCA Lutheran Church posted on her website a gay pride parade. The cross is draped in a gay rainbow color, and the sign says, "Jesus had two dads, and he turned out fine." Also, a pastor wearing a t-shirt says, "God is non-binary." Living Lutheran magazine, I just referenced them. They had an article recently that we have to use the preferred pronouns of LGBTQAI plus persons, or they might kill themselves. So you've got to use preferred pronouns. You know, the opposite is true. Christians, we are not to lie to people about who they are to make them feel good. That doesn't help them. That hurts them. And I'll say it one more time. This our TV show's on all over the country, but there's lots of ELCA Lutheran colleges in the upper Midwest. I would send no one to Gustavus Adolphus College, Augsburg University, St. Olaf College, Luther College, Decorah. In the 1800s, Lutheran immigrants founded these colleges to teach Christianity to their children. These colleges used to be good, not anymore. St. Olaf some time ago put a Hindu as the head of their religion department, and I recently discovered this from Augsburg University's website. Quote, "The campus ministry office strives to support lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual individuals." Then it states that, yeah, we'll marry you, whatever, doesn't matter. And then it has the nerve to say, "Augsburg's campus ministry is steeped in the Lutheran tradition." Wait a minute. For 500 years, the Lutheran Church has been opposed to homosexual behavior. But Augsburg, pro-gay Augsburg, nope, we're steeped in Lutheran tradition. A few more items. Let's turn to the Presbyterians. The Presbyterian Church USA is every bit as messed up as the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. A large congregation downtown Minneapolis, PCUSA Presbyterian Church, puts their worship service on TV on Sunday afternoon. I now and then catch it. It's regularly awful, but I happen to catch pro-gay pride Sunday, where the sermon was on, quote, "the theological aspects of gay pride." And then the senior pastor bemoans the fact that for hundreds of years, the church has oppressed our LGBTQAS, siblings. But then he praises the liberal churches because now they've become enlightened. And he says this: the church has always been a little queer in that it defies norms and boundaries. And then he talks about how now God is setting us free from bondage and shame. Not the bondage and shame of homosexual behavior, but the bondage and shame of being against homosexual behavior. Let's talk about God the Mother. I got an email from a man who said, "Dear Pastor Brock, I went to an ELCA Lutheran church. Here is the way the Lord's Prayer read in their bulletin. And now we pray the prayer that Jesus himself taught us, saying, Our Creator, our Mother, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's not the way Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. Lastly, let's talk about the worst, most radical Protestant denomination of them all, the fastly shrinking United Church of Christ. The thing about the UCC, once upon a time, they were very, very biblical. Their roots are the Puritans, people like Jonathan Edwards, very biblical people. Gone are the days. The UCC was the first denomination to ordain practicing homosexuals in 1972, the first denomination to ordain transgender people in 2003. And now, you don't have to believe in the Trinity anymore to be a UCC pastor. You can be a Unitarian, reject the Trinity, reject the deity of Christ, and be a pastor now in the United Church of Christ. Since 1960s, the membership of the UCC has shrunk incredibly. Their seminary here in the Twin Cities, United Theological Seminary, had to sell off its building. I used to walk through that seminary now and then just to get my blood pressure up. They had like 8 big paintings up of the divine feminine so that we could worship God as the goddess. Well, now that seminary had to sell those buildings. And I got this email recently. "Our local United Church of Christ here in Northfield, Minnesota, is having a performance called Drag Gospel. They are bringing in drag queens to perform in the church sanctuary," this letter writer told me. "I am so upset. The event says that it is family friendly and children are welcome. Bring dollar bills because the performers enjoy tips." The United Church of Christ is shrinking. The Presbyterian Church USA is shrinking. The Episcopal Church in America is shrinking. The Disciples of Christ is shrinking. The United Methodist Church is shrinking. All these denominations that have denied Scripture and are now compromising with the world, they're dying, and they should. So I'm doing this to plead with you. Join a good biblical church where you can rest assured that your offerings in the plate aren't going to pay for an abortion or for somebody's sex change operations. And I'll close with this. I've shared this before, but here's a woman who became a Christian. And somebody at work said, "What's the difference now between you and me now that you're a Christian?" And the lady responded, "One letter. You love the world. I love the Word." If you are in a church that is following the world and has rejected the Word, find a different church. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, yes. Our first question from a viewer is, "I have not tithed 10% in the past. Do I need to make it up?"
Well, my response to this woman was, tithing is an Old Testament requirement for the Jews. Mm-hmm. I don't see tithing as a requirement for New Testament Christians. It's kind of like certain things were just for the Jews. I mean, we don't kill lambs if we sin anymore, and we're free to eat pork, and the Jews weren't. But so here's what I told her: the New Testament principle is, Paul says, give as you prosper. Mm-hmm. So some people should be given a lot more than 10%. And I tithe. I give 10% of my income to the Lord. And then I give above my tithe something called your offerings. Mm-hmm. And you give that wherever you want. I give my tithe to my local church, but then I give my offerings to missions, et cetera, et cetera. So do you have to go back now and find out how much you made and tithe all that? I don't think you do, because, again, it's not a New Testament requirement. However, and here's a point I make all the time, if the Jews were moved to give this much, 10% to the Lord, of what they knew of the love of God, since the crucifixion, and we know this much about the love of God, are we going to give more or less than an Old Testament Jew? So I want to encourage you. I think tithing is a great thing. It's a place to start. But I think if you make, just be, the Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
And I pray that for myself. Lord, help me be a cheerful, generous giver.
Amen.
So I don't think she needs to go backwards, but going forward, that would be the thing.
Okay. How do I know my purpose? I have prayed and asked God since I was a teenager what my purpose is. I still don't know. What am I doing wrong? Since I have retired, I've been unable to determine my passion in life, and now I don't do anything. I've researched countless volunteer opportunities. Do you have any advice? Also, this viewer wants to know, is it a sin to play the lottery?
Okay.
A few dollars per week.
All right, we'll do the first one first.
Okay.
I think you can discover your passion by asking two things. What can I do all day and love it? And then the second thing, ask people, what do you think I'm good at? You need to discover what's called your spiritual gift. There's 19 gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in the Bible. Mercy, giving is a gift, prophesying, speaking, there's like 19 gifts. Find out what your gift is. Read 1 Corinthians 12. And I don't have them off the top of my head, but there's 19 gifts. So pray, Lord, what is my gift? And then use that gift to serve the Lord. And I'm glad she's seeking it out. I would tell her, don't stop. You'll find the Lord will show you something to do for his kingdom.
And since sometimes you just have to jump in and do something.
Yep. And if she's an elderly person, and prayer is a huge ministry that you can have, just to pray regularly for people. Join the church prayer team, that prayer chain, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
And what about the lottery?
Well, you know, is it a sin to play the lottery? It's just, and she said a few dollars a week, or he did. I think that was a different questioner. Now, you're going to get a biased opinion because my dad ran the horse race track, and I worked at the horse race track when I was a teenager. But, and I remember people saying about my dad that, you know, that's not right that he's running this place. Okay, here, my 10 cents is, does the Bible forbid gambling? I don't know of any place that does. So if I want to take $20 to the racetrack or spend $20 on a lottery ticket, I don't think it's sinning, but we've got to be careful because there's lots of stuff that is sin that the Bible doesn't clearly, never says, go ahead, it never says it's a sin to do heroin. Well, they didn't have it back then, you know, so so you got to be careful on this. I don't think it's a sin to take, you know, people take $20 to go to the movies, or they take $20 to go to the restaurant. If somebody takes $20 to go to a, well, the casinos are so depressing to me. Sometimes when I am out and about, I'll go to a casino maybe for the buffet. But it's so depressing. The people are in there just going like this. And it's just depressing. And so I don't think it's, I can't say it's a sin to gamble. There are people for whom it is a sin because they've got a gambling addiction. And those people should stay 100% cold turkey away from the thing. And I think a lot of people should stay away from it because it's just kind of depressing. But I'm not willing to say it's a sin.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
And it's a place a lot of seniors can go and it's something they can do easily.
I know, and I don't like that. Go to church.
Alrighty. Well, then you answered the next question.
Okay.
Is it a sin to gamble in general, just for fun? Not anything serious. You're saying?
I'm saying I'm not going to say it's a sin, but be careful.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Should pastors talk about political issues from the pulpit?
I don't think it's my place to tell anybody specifically what candidate to vote for. I think it is my place to say, generally, Vote for people that'll protect unborn children in the womb. Mm-hmm. Vote for people that'll protect God's definition of marriage as being a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Roe versus Wade was overthrown last year, I go to a Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, good pastor, but I prayed before church, Lord, may he have the courage to stand up and praise God that Roe versus Wade is overthrown.
Yes.
And I got to church, and he did. God bless him. But there's another Missouri Synod Lutheran Church here in town, real big one, and I have a friend that goes there, and I said, did your pastors even mention mm-hmm. abortion and Roe versus Wade? He said, not a mm-hmm. word. And it reminded me, remember back in 2015, when gay marriage was passed by the mm-hmm. Supreme Court and President Obama lit up the White House in mm-hmm. gay pride colors. Mm-hmm. What a day that was. I went to church that weekend. Gay marriage became officially legal for the first time in history. And I went to two conservative churches. Mm-hmm. Neither pastor mentioned what had happened. Mm-hmm. Not even a prayer mm-hmm. about what had happened. I thought, pastors, see, the problem isn't just the liberal churches that are promoting that garbage. Mm-hmm. It's the conservative churches that are being too quiet.
Exactly.
So I don't think we need to tell people specific candidates to vote for, I think a pastor has to say, defend the unborn, defend Christian marriage, etc.
Stand on the word of God.
That's right. That's right.
I complained to a liberal church about their pro-gay theology and was told by a church leader that if I knew New Testament Greek, I would know the Bible doesn't really condemn homosexuality. What should I say?
I know New Testament Greek. It says what it says. Mm-hmm. For 2,000 years, Christians have been against homosexual behavior because the New Testament and the Old Testament are against it. Now we have liberal modern scholars who have discovered a new interpretation mm-hmm. in the last 20, 30 years that, you know, it really doesn't say what it says. It's really not condemning homosexual behavior, but lust or pedophilia. No. It's talking about a man having sex with a man, a woman having sex with a woman. And this one really bugs me when people say, well, you know, if you knew the New Testament Greek, mm-hmm. you'd really be in favor of homosexuality. I know the New Testament Greek. So did all the Catholic scholars. So did Martin Luther and John Calvin, all the Reformation scholars, every Christian scholar, and the ancient church fathers. Mm-hmm. New Greek a lot better than we ever will. They were all against this. Mm-hmm. So this is just kind of a smokescreen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Mona, we got 30 seconds left. And I just want to encourage you. Thank you so much for watching. Here's our website. You can watch all of our TV shows for free anytime there. Pray for our ministry. God has been good to us. We have gotten a big will, and so that's why we're on around the country more. If God nudges you to keep us on the air, you can go to that website or see the address. But there you go, Mona.
Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.